among us. It is my very great pleasure to introduce one of the dearest well-wishers and friends of Radha Gopinath Temple for many years, who was the one who revealed the origin of this temple to us. Years ago, the first time he ever came, on the day of Ram Navami, he looked out at the devotees with tears in his eyes and revealed a secret that explained everything. He said that in 1973, when he was Srila Prabhupada's personal secretary, Prabhupada gave a lecture just across the street at the Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan. And as Prabhupada came out of the auditorium, standing on the steps beside the road, looking right in this direction, he put his cane down and exclaimed, "This is such an important place. We should have a temple here." It was that glance and that wish that was the seed that later gave birth to Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple and all the fruits in the form of the assembled devotees. We never would have known that unless Shyamasundara Prabhu was right there at Srila Prabhupada's side. He was one of Prabhupada's dearmost, favorite most of all disciples. Prabhupada engaged him in the most amazing forms of devotional service. And what he accomplished will go down forever in Vaishnav history. Let us welcome His Grace Shyamasundara Prabhu.
Glad you kept that short. It's so nice to be with everyone here again. It's been a couple of years. 3 years, 2006, last time I sat with all of you wonderful angels like this. And that's the last time I spoke in a public place as well, so please forgive me if I'm a little nervous. But it's so nice to see everyone again. It's just, one of the main things that attracts us to Krishna. Well, in my case, for example, it's probably the adventure of Krishna consciousness, the action, the constant action of Krishna consciousness. But deepmost, Krishna attracts by his magic abilities, the magic that he weaves. We've been hearing so many wonderful stories of Lord Chaitanya and his colleagues and associates. And we see in all of the actions, all of the stories of Lord Chaitanya, tremendous action, adventure, and magic, always in the air. And these guys never stopped. There was something going on all the time. This story, that story, and magic things happening all the time. Off to South India, over to Vrindavan, moving around. This is Krishna consciousness. The living example of Krishna consciousness is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when you read Krishna book, what is that? Just total action. Every day Krishna and his friends were involved in some kind of adventure and action experience, killing demons or doing this, doing that. It was full of action, activity, and magic. And then we have the living example in Srila Prabhupada. He was what attracted us the most in the early days when he came to us. He came as an old man at almost 70 years of age without any money in his pocket on a one-way ticket to the most demonic place in the world. When we saw this man among us, we thought, wow, this guy is really adventurous. And every moment with Prabhupada was filled with action. Doing this plan, that plan. Everything around him was full, just buzzing with action. But most of all, what attracted us to Prabhupada was his magic touch. Everything around him just magically happened all the time. I mean, there's hundreds of stories. Well, all the devotees who knew him in those days, the magic feats that he performed. I mean, those were the days, what you're seeing now in this temple and all these beautiful institutions around India and the rest of the world. My God, Russia, hundreds of thousands of devotees, China. You're seeing the finished township that Prabhupada built from a small... I was there in the days when he was just drawing the blueprints, tiny little pieces of paper, and maybe a couple of foundations were built, dug at the very basement level. And now we have this beautiful town built with Prabhupada's energy all over the world. If that isn't magic, I don't know what is. But I want to tell a really special magic story tonight. Anybody wants to hear? I know this is magic because I experienced it myself. When I left all of you last time, I went back to America and had a medical checkup. And they spotted a tumor in my liver. Now, for anyone who has a tumor in their liver, It's the mark of death. 99% of the time, they told me when they gave me the results of the X-ray that you have a malignant tumor in your liver, so you must prepare yourself to die. Right from the beginning, I didn't feel like, no, this is not true. I mean, it's there, but I won't die. Krishna will take care of me. And he always has. Nothing will happen. It will be an unpleasant experience, but that's all. For all of my sinful activities, let it be. It's a small amount of punishment. So I went, they told me, well, if you have this liver operated on, this tumor removed, or a new liver put into your body, you should go, you should be prepared for several months to be taken care of by somebody. You should be in the home or some friends or a relative. So my daughter happens to live in Saraswati, who is one of Prabhupada's friends too. She happens to live in Chicago, the city of Chicago. And quite coincidentally, about 20 minutes from Maharaj's home, his family home in Chicago. None of this was thought out. But I thought, well, let me go to Chicago and stay with my daughter and see if there's some facility there for performing some operation or surgery so that I may live. And my daughter introduced me to the University of Chicago Hospital. There were some doctors there. And they said, all right, we'll try to remove this tumor. So Maharaj was there at the time, so we talked about it. He said, yeah, you should just do it. They'll take it out. So I went to the hospital. They cut me open. They looked at the liver. They said, no, we cannot cut this out. It's too close to the vein. We can put some substance on it to slow down the malignancy, but sewed me back up. Said, you're going to die. Be prepared to die. Or we can give you a new liver if somebody dies, and you can have their liver if they donate it. There's a list. We'll put you at the bottom of the list. So I said, well, how long I have to wait on this list for a new liver? And they said, 2 to 3 years. So what will happen in the meantime? They said, most likely you'll die. Still, I didn't worry. I didn't think this was going to be a bad situation. So I said, well, what is the option for, is there any option for waiting for someone to die to give me their liver? And they said, well, we happen to be the pioneer institution in the world for what's called a living donor transplant of liver. They said that we have performed several thousands of these surgeries. No one else can do it, but we know how to do it, where you cut half the liver from a living person and it's transplanted into your body, and then you both carry on. And I said, well, what is the prerequisite for that? And they said, well, it has to be the same blood type and roughly the same body size, that's all. So they took my children's blood test, and they don't have the same blood type as I am. So I was pretty much thinking, well, okay, I'll just have to wait 2 to 3 years and hope for the best. And I went over to Maharaj's, or no, you were in Seattle or something. We called him on the phone and told him, well, you know, my daughter's blood test is not the same as mine, so they will not be able to donate this liver. So I hung up the phone, and a few hours later, he calls back. Maharaj called back and said, well, Malati and he have put a notice on the Hare Krishna website that anyone who can donate a liver for Shama Sundar. Imagine that. A small notice on the Hare Krishna website. And she gave the name and number of the hospital, the nurse at the hospital in charge of this program. The next day, the nurse at the hospital called me up and said, we have so many people calling from all over the world. Who are you? He said, many famous celebrities, sports stars, and they die from this tumor of the liver because no one will donate. Day by day, calls came in to the University of Chicago Hospital offering a liver for Shama Sundar from people I've never met before or even heard of. From all over the world, devotees called this hospital, from China, from Greece, from Norway, from England, South America, from all over the U.S., Africa, all over the planet. It was an amazing thing. They lost track. They actually cut off the phone after over 50 people had offered to donate the liver for me. Now, is that Krishna's magic or what? This is unheard of. So one boy, Gopinath. Where's Gopinath? Gopinath does. He was the first one. He called up the hospital and said, I will give. He happened to be at New Vrindavan in West Virginia, not far from Chicago. So I never met Gopinath in my life. He's Radhanath's disciple. So out of love for Radhanath, he offered to give me a piece of his large piece, an important piece of his body for his guru's friend. So I discussed with the doctors and they said, well, first of all, take the closest person, ask them to come, and we will test. So Gopinath was the closest person. West Virginia is only a few hundred miles from Chicago. And he came, Gopinath came up there, and he happened to be the same blood type and was willing, he had the time to do it immediately. So within one, was it 1 week, Gopinath? 1 week? 1 week later that they performed the surgery? 2 weeks? Oh, they had to do some testing. And then they scheduled the surgery for 2 weeks later. Huh? Oh, Gopinath, please, come on, stand up. You're a hero. Krishna consciousness. So 2 weeks later, they put us in the same room, and for eight hours, I was just talking to Madhavacharya. He's a anesthetologist in Washington, D.C. He knows about medicine. He just told me that in all of medicine, that the liver transplant is the most difficult of all surgeries, requires the most work, intensive work. By comparison, a heart surgery is nothing, a bypass surgery, or it's just a pump, the heart. It's very easy to fix by surgery. But this liver is a very complex organ. So they laid us side by side in a room for 8 hours. 8 hours. They cut 67% of his liver and put into my body. Took out my old liver and put in a jar. When I came out of this, the gained consciousness, I woke up in this room, and the whole room was glowing with Krishna. Krishna and all of the angels were standing in that room. It was the most amazing experience. So this is the magic of Krishna consciousness. Even in the most dire circumstances, the devotee is protected. I wanted to stay. I wanted to stay around and talk about Prabhupada some more. A few things to get settled. Some more service to perform. And Krishna has given that opportunity by his very real magic, very personal magic. And he's the same with every devotee. He will give every devotee his undivided attention. This is about all I have to say. Let some others speak. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Anyway, it's Om Gyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksura Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dharati Swapadantaka Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanyam Nityananda Sahodito Gododaya Pushpavanto Chitro Samdo Tamonado. This Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda have appeared just like the sun and the moon on the horizon of Goda to dissipate the darkness of Kali Yuga and liberate everybody. So we've heard most of Lord Chaitanya's leelas. about all different great devotees. There's one I happened to just hear this morning about undesirable devotee. There was one, Ramachandra Puri. You heard of him? So the scripture also shows us, like, you know, what not to be. We have Hiranyakasipu and Ravana, and in Lord Chaitanya's Leela also is this Ramachandra Puri. He was a sannyasi, and he was actually a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. So, but he had a habit, well actually he had a big problem when his guru was leaving his body, and he was lamenting. Madhavendra Puri was lamenting, oh, I've never reached Mathura, I've never attained Mathura. And this Ramachandra said, why are you thinking of a place in the world? You should be thinking of Brahman at the time of death. So he had the audacity to try to instruct his guru. So Madhavendra Puri told him, get out of my vision. He said, if I see you at the time of death, I'll never get Krishna. So he was cursed. So he became more and more degraded. So he would invite sannyasis for prasadam, and he would keep telling them, eat more, eat more, eat more, serving them very nicely. Then he would say, just see, you're eating so much. You are not real sannyasis. And he would criticize like that. So he wasn't popular. And he even came, when he would visit Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya would always pay obeisance because he's a godbrother of his guru. And then one day he was pointing, he said, just see, there's ants in this room. You're eating so many sweets. You're not a proper sannyasi either. He told Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya took that very seriously and he reduced his eating by half or even down to one-fourth of what he normally ate. And all the devotees were very distressed and very unhappy. But he said, no, he's right, I'm eating too much. And of course they were unhappy to see Lord Chaitanya eating so little, but also they weren't getting anything because they ate his remnants. But finally that Ramachandra Puri left town and everybody felt like a huge burden had been lifted off their heads. And they were very happy and Lord Chaitanya went back to his normal eating, which wasn't really very much, but this rascal guy. So this is an example of how not to be. There's so many great devotees in Lord Chaitanya's Leela, and we heard about most of them already today. Of course, to hear again and again is always nectar. I felt like, well, what am I going to say? Everything was told so nicely and so thoroughly. But this is, it's unlimited, according to Krishnadas Kaviraj. There's no limit to Lord Chaitanya. He's just giving us a drop from the ocean of Lord Chaitanya's Leelas. And the Leelas are going on. We keep repeating that this ISKCON is a continuation of Lord Chaitanya's Leelas with so many devotees carrying on in the tradition of all the great associates of Lord Chaitanya. All the different aspects of in all different ashrams, just working, making plans how to spread the holy name, how to have more festivals, Rath Yatra festivals all over the world, temples all over the world, deities of Lord Chaitanya all over the world. Lord Chaitanya, we heard how he told Mother Sachi how the deity and the holy name that's his main appearance in this age. Someone might question, well, where is Krishna? He said, yada, yada, yadharmasya, glanir, bhavati, bharata. You know, when there's adharma, an decrease in dharma and an increase in adharma, then he advances. Someone might say, well, where is he? Why doesn't he come? You know, it's quite adharmic day and age now. Everywhere is advertising for sinful, even not just bad dharma, but sinful, insane activities. But he is appearing everywhere, and the kirtan is appearing everywhere in every town and village. Of course, there's many towns and villages to go, but in every country anyway. Somewhere devotees are chanting, deities are being installed, devotees are worshiping deities, and so many countries, even that are very atheistic countries or where other religions. So Lord Chaitanya is manifesting, and Lord Nityananda, everywhere. And his pastimes are being revealed more and more through drama, through the books, through just narrations. And we should, they're relishable again and again and again. Actually, just like Arjuna told Krishna, tell me again. I never get tired of hearing. The sages at Naimisharanya said, repeat it again and again. We never tire of hearing this, and it just gets better and better. It's opening up and expanding more and more. The more we meditate on the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and they're all just mercy, all for the benefit of all the fallen souls, to help us to think of him. Prabhupada also, he, even in his time, he, you know, would stay somewhere for a while, then leave. One time in Los Angeles, he came down and he said, I'm going now to Hawaii, and I'll be back in a few days. So he went to Hawaii, then he went probably to Japan, and he went to Hong Kong, he went to India. He was gone for many months. And devotees wrote him and said, you said you'd be back in a few days. And he said, you don't know the day of Brahma. So he had everybody waiting, thinking, oh, he's coming right back. Just like Krishna told him, and when he stayed in Mathura, he said, I'll be back to Vrindavan in a few days. Just have a little business to do here, then I'll be back. But he did go back a few times, but it was a long time and kind of sneaking back. Lord Chaitanya, when he left Puri, and everybody was trying to follow him, and they were crying, and Sarvabhauma fell, he didn't even look back. He just walked away. But that wasn't cruel. That was actually extreme kindness. When Gadadhar Pandit wanted to go with him, although he had the vow of Chaitra Sannyas, and he wanted to go with Lord Chaitanya, but he was saying, well, what's the difference? You're Krishna, if I go with you or if I stay here. He had to philosophically, he had it down, but he let him follow for a little while, then he just left him on the side of the river and crossed in a boat, devastated. But that just increases the attachment, increases the desire to be with him. And we need that. We need to increase the desire to chant the holy name, to remember Lord Chaitanya, and to teach the world more and more about Lord Chaitanya and all his different activities. We see these childhood Leela was so blissful, so charming, and that's just one of his unlimitedly naughty activities as a child, right? Because a naughty child attracts much more attention than a good child, right? If the child is always very good and sweet, then nobody really pays much attention to him. But the naughty child gets all the attention. So Krishna was very naughty, and Lord Chaitanya was very, very naughty, especially when they took him out of school. Then he was more naughty, and when he was chastised, he said, what do you expect? You don't let me go to school. I have nothing else to do except make trouble. Krishna was, Prabhupada said he was a naughty child also. But we don't know about that. But his naughtiness was not bad. It was just charming and made everybody think of him more and more and more, made him the center of attention of all the ladies of the neighborhood, starting a Sankirtan movement from the time of his birth, getting everybody chanting in the banks of the holy rivers, But then as a baby also just chanting, as long as the ladies would chant the holy name, he would dance and be very happy. And as soon as they would stop chanting, then he would start crying and be naughty. So he was forcing them to always be chanting the holy name. And we should also be remembering that and helping each other to be always chanting the holy name. One way or another, that's all we need. That's what the world needs. Now everybody's worried about all these. Well, it's always something. If it's terrorist or war or tsunamis, now it's economic tsunami or something, whatever. Or I don't know what it, you know. So always something to keep everyone in anxiety and fear. But that's the material world. No matter what, you can't make it perfect. Nothing lasts forever except Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya came very kindly and he gave us the very simple process. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And we see it spreading all over the world. Every place I've been anyway, there's always so many devotees, and every time there's more devotees and more people chanting in so many places and countries where people won't believe it. But because the soul is just naturally attracted and everyone wants to hear about great personalities, there's no one, of course, greater than Krishna. And all the associates of Lord Chaitanya, great personalities, fascinating, like some of us understand, adventure, action, you know, sometimes not, you know, so exciting like Krishna killing all the demons and all that, but the kirtan, ecstatic kirtans and ecstatic loving exchanges that he's having with all the different devotees from top to bottom, from his mother and his brother at one time, and then with Lord Nityananda, with all the devotees, joking, very fond of joking, Lord Chaitanya, that's the first verse of that song you're singing, right? Nava Pushpavaram, is expert at making jokes, making everybody laugh, and we heard he's laughing 3 hours, sometimes 6 hours. When he was traveling towards Ramkeli, the king, Muslim king's minister or spy or whatever, told him, this sannyasi, sometimes he's laughing for 6 hours. Or he's singing and dancing for so many hours. And the Hindu secretary was saying, oh, he's just an ordinary sannyasi. He's not, don't worry about it. Because he thought if he was, you know, the king thought he was too influential, and then he would want to kill him because that king was noted for that. But he, by hearing about Lord Chaitanya and how so many people, he said there's so many people following him and he doesn't pay them. So he must be that, what I call Allah and what the Hindus call Krishna, because my people, if I don't pay them, they'll leave me right away. And he said, if I go to another country, nobody cares who I am. But this man, no matter where he goes, everybody gets all excited about him. So he could understand it. And he said, leave him alone. Don't disturb him. So that wonderful, you know, potency of Lord Chaitanya, that even the Muslim king that was noted to be very murderous could see that he was actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even though most of the time Lord Chaitanya kept that covered and then, you know, not everybody would know, although sometimes they would know, but then he would deny it. So we know, and it's not hidden anymore. Lord Chaitanya Navadvip, he revealed himself to all of the different Sampradaya Acharyas when they visited Navadvip. Ramanujacharya and Madhvacharya, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarkacharya, all of them had the darshan of Gauranga. But he told them, you go on with you know, whatever you're preaching, and you can think about Gauranga, but don't tell anybody, right? Isn't that right? You can't tell anybody. So they were meditating on Lord Chaitanya. They knew that in the future he'd be coming, but they never revealed it. They never talked about it. They taught their whatever philosophy they were teaching. But now it's not, we're supposed to tell everybody. No, it's not a secret anymore. We're supposed to tell everyone you meet, whoever you go and whoever you meet, tell them about Krishna, tell them about Lord Chaitanya, tell them about the Sankirtan movement. That's our business now. That's how we stay connected with Lord Chaitanya, to do what he did, Nityananda, knocking on every door, begging everyone, just chant the holy name. That was the only donation he asked, just chant. And we're still doing that, and now I see more and more people chanting. Just like we heard about the washerman. And that was the way people would see Lord Chaitanya and dancing in ecstasy. They would start dancing in ecstasy, and it's still happening. And when we were on Navadvip Parikrama, they had the cart with the speakers. So they were hired guys pushing the cart, but they were dancing like crazy. Because they had the kirtan like this far from his head, you know, the huge speaker, and the guy was dancing like anything, and the guy behind was dancing, and they had a good job. They were very happy. It wasn't work for them. Usually they just have to push some wedding music or something, you know. So they got, and this, everybody that sees it, they just start dancing, and no matter where we are, even in Israel, when we do Harinam, so many people just join in and start dancing. Children, girls, boys, you know, they just get right into it. In Africa especially, they just come around and people start dancing. But we want to get the whole world dancing and let them understand, you know, that Krishna is the maintainer of everything, Krishna is supplying everything. And everybody is getting what they need. But to be happy, we just need the holy name, right? Hare Krishna! Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, it's a very special day, in the special year of the 500th anniversary of Lord Chaitanya's sannyas. This year we have, I think, 6 new sannyasis to take sannyas this year. We have one here. We're fortunate to participate and have association. And we need people taking up that work of doing everything for Krishna, whatever ashram they're in, going all over preaching, going to every home, every house, every school, every town, every village, and giving everybody the holy name, giving them the book, giving them prasadam, because it's a big, big job. Lord Chaitanya has left it with us. He could have, you know, converted the whole world himself. The Prabhupada said he's left it to us. He's very kind, giving us engagement. So I thank you very much. I don't know how many all night we're going to go here. Do you want to say something? Huh? Who else?
Within 10 minutes.
What's that? He spoke earlier, but he can speak again. He's very blissful.
Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Pastyaja Deshitarane.
Well, I've been in Chopati for a few days, and of course you know how I feel about all of you here. It's my favorite place in the world. Radhanath Swami Maharaj is not only my godbrother, my dear friend, and I always cherish his association, I never want to take it for granted. He's very important to me in my life and my Krishna consciousness. Shyamasundar Prabhu, I met here. I never knew Shyamasundar before I met him here 4 years ago. Our paths never crossed. I was always on different sides of the world. And I was here in Chowpatty, and I was sitting up in the room, and the door flew open, and Shyamasundar walked in, and I was like, Shyamasundar, Harbal. Finally, I get to meet him. And he said, what are you doing? I said, not much, just in India, you know. He goes, well, you can help me put on a Prabhupada festival. I said, okay. So that's how I met Shyamasundar, and we put on the Cross Madan festival, and I was very fortunate to be able to help and participate in that. And also, my dear godbrother here, Kavi Chandra Maharaj, you might not know, we're old friends. Kavi Chandra Maharaj, I was a Chicago devotee through three temple presidents. I was there for many years. And Kavi Chandra Maharaj was on the airport party. And so he spent time there doing O Hare Krishna Airport, as Prabhupada would call O'Hare Airport. So we became very close. And he's also very dear to me. Kavi Chandra is one of my closest godbrothers in Krishna consciousness. He's always very inspiring, very kind. Bhakti Chakshu Maharaj, I just met yesterday. And we're already very close friends. He's a very, very special Vaishnav. And to be here to see his sannyasa initiation was so wonderful for me. I've never witnessed a sannyasa initiation before. So it was very wonderful for me to see. I actually witnessed the Babaji initiation one time. The one and only in ISKCON history. That was very interesting, but I'll tell that story another time. But I was thinking of actually a story this morning when sannyasis were all speaking, but I didn't want to speak out of turn, but I'll tell it now. It's a nice story. Excuse me. Srila Prabhupada was in Chicago, and it was 19. So he came twice in 74 and 75. And we were on a morning walk, which Srila Prabhupada used to walk in Evanston along Northwestern University. Very beautiful, Shyamasundar knows, right along the lake. So at the end of the walk, Prabhupada was going back towards his car. And I was really close to Srila Prabhupada from a few feet. And some guy came screeching up on a bicycle and hit the brakes. And he looks at Srila Prabhupada and he says, hey, how come there was like 15 sannyasis there? And he said, hey, how come some of those guys are carrying sticks? Talking about the dandas, the sannyasis. And I was standing next to Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, what did he say? And Goswami, Tamal Krishnamurti, said, he's asking why we're carrying sticks, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, tell him to chase away dogs.
Chase away the dogs.
And needless to say, all the devotees were laughing much harder than this. We were laughing very hard. It was very funny. So, and that gentleman was actually very bewildered. He couldn't understand. To chase away dogs. Must be a lot of dogs in this part of Chicago. But then I think Goswami invited him to the temple. I'm not sure if he came or not. Anyways, you know, this is what Krishna consciousness is, actually. What Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us is the opportunity to chase away the dogs of Maya, right? Radhanath Maharaj was speaking so nicely the other day about the two dogs in the heart, the one dog of devotion and the demon dog, right? So if we feed the dog of devotion, he gets bigger and the other one shrinks away. So that's what Krishna consciousness is. This is what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us. We heard the sloka so many times today in the last few days quoted, right? Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Klo, Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva. Gatya Danyata. It's the only way. Three times. Prabhupada always said, if you want to emphasize something, say it three times. There's no other way, there's no other way, there's no other way than chanting the holy names of the Lord. And this is what is more beautiful than all of us getting together and singing and dancing and chanting. We're driving away the dogs of Maya. And so, you know, with the association of all the wonderful devotees, we have such a, we're so blessed and we have such a great opportunity in Krishna consciousness to decrease lust in the heart, the lust of so many different kinds of lusts, profit, adoration, distinction, different lusts. Krishna says, Bhagavad Gita, it's our eternal enemy, the greatest enemy, right? Kama Asia, Krodha Asia, Raja Guna, Samud Bhavaha, Mahasano Mahapapma, Vidyimam Hiva. Eternal enemy in the form of lust. So this is what Krishna consciousness gives us, this opportunity to become purified, you know, to please the spiritual master, the key of life, so we can gradually get the mercy of Krishna and go back home, back to Godhead. So I want to thank all the devotees and all of you for the, my wonderful stay here. I'll be here for a little while longer. I have some hospital visits, and I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. It is just now time for the Gaura Aarti. Special Aarti celebrating Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's divine appearance in this world. I will speak for 2-3 minutes. We hear from the Holy Scripture that before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, he sent his divine associates to prepare for him. There was Upendra Mishra, who lived in Srihatta, now Sylhet, in Bangladesh. He had a son of the name Jagannath Mishra. Jagannath Mishra left Srihatta to come to Navadvip, especially to study under the great scholar Nilambar Chakravarti. After some time of being Nilambar Chakravarti's student, Nilambar Chakravarti, very, very great prophet, astrologer, Brahmin, scholar, devotee, he witnessed that Jagannath Mishra had such divine qualities that he offered his own daughter to his student for marriage. Her name was Sachi Devi. They married and had a home near the bank of the Ganga in Navadvip. Sachi Mata gave birth to 8 consecutive daughters. But by the inconceivable arrangement of destiny, each and every one of those daughters died after birth. 8 daughters dead. They had no children. They worshipped their family deity, the Shalagram Shila, with great, great devotion. And eventually, they gave birth to a son, who was a partial expansion of Nityananda Balaram. They named him Vishwarup. Balaram appeared to prepare, just like Balaram appeared in Devaki's womb, to prepare her womb for Krishna's arrival. Rohini. And then Vishwaroop prepared. He made all the arrangements. And then the Supreme Lord, he was attracted by the love and devotion of Advaitacharya and the other Vaishnavas. We were speaking about it this morning. It is a most important topic. Sri Advaita seeing the materialistic condition of the people in this society, and this was 500 years ago. Can you imagine what he would see today? What he's seeing today? In the name of religion, people were simply ritualistic, superstitious, materially motivated. In the name of study of scripture, it was simply for the sake of argument, logic. There was no devotion. Some jnana, some karma, some mysticism, but practically no devotion. The only time anyone would chant the name of Krishna is some very pious people for material benediction. When they bathe in the Ganges, they'd say, "Hey Pundarikaksha." That was it. In the age of Kali, there's no other way except the chanting of the names of God. Advaita Prabhu, he felt such a burning in his heart due to love for all living beings that he prayed for years, practically day and night. Krishna, no one can give the love of Vrindavan in this world except you. People are so faithless, so materialistic, so egoistic, so selfish, so lusty and greedy, so easily angered. Only if you personally descend in your own form is there any hope in this age of Kali. You see, Advaita Prabhu was not concerned with people getting liberated. He wasn't concerned with people getting some shanti, some peace. For him, that was all cheating. He wanted prema bhakti. That's the nature of the soul. That's the inheritance of every living being. He wept incessant tears, constantly, on the bank of the Ganges, crying out with a loud voice, "Please, Krishna, come." And the intention of his heart reached Goloka Vrindavan. And on the basis of that calling, the Lord decided to appear to deliver the people of this age of Kali. He entered the womb of Sachi Devi and remained for about a year. Didn't come out. And Sachi Devi and Jagannath Mishra were becoming very worried. Many amazing signs. Sometimes Sachi Devi would just, she thought she was just imagining, but it was happening all the time. She would see celestial beings and demigods in the night just crowding around her bed and chanting prayers to the child in her womb. It was a divine conception. There was no physical act. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered into the heart of Jagannath Mishra, and from the heart of Jagannath Mishra, he transferred to the heart of Sachi, and from there entered into her womb. And everything became auspicious. They went to Nilambar Chakravarti, said, "What's happening? Almost a year has gone by. The child has not come out. When will he come out?" Nilambar Chakravarti was the greatest astrologer. If he was around today, I would definitely recommend that you went to see him. There's not too many others that I know of. Nilambar Chakravarti was such an astrologer. He did his readings, and he said, "This is a special divine child. He is personally waiting for the most auspicious time to take birth." Fantastically, the most auspicious time that Lord Chaitanya chose was, by smarta principles, the most inauspicious time. It was today, the full moon night of the month of Phalgun. But on this night, there was an eclipse, a lunar eclipse, which is considered very inauspicious. People sometimes hide from the lunar eclipse. It is said that when Rahu saw that the spotless golden moon of Gaurasundar was about to appear, what is the use of that moon with spots? So he swallowed him. Eclipse. And because the eclipse is considered very inauspicious, everyone on that time was chanting Krishna's holy names. Everyone. Throughout the rest of their lives, they never chanted Krishna's names. But when they saw inauspiciousness, they weren't going to take shelter of a demigod. They all went to the Ganga, and everyone, men, women, children, even people of other religions, were seeing all the Hindus chanting Hari Hari. And they started imitating. It was so contagious. Hari Hari. The whole of Navadweep. Millions and millions of people simultaneously crying out. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first invoked the chanting of the holy name. And then while everyone was chanting, he manifested himself. It's very symbolic. This age of Kali, it's like a constant eclipse. It's a very dark age. So many inauspicious things. But when we sincerely from our heart chant the holy names, the Supreme Lord appears. Kali Kale Namarupe Krishnavata. Krishna is not different than his name. And when he appeared, everything became supremely auspicious. All the devotees, their hearts were leaping with joy, and they didn't know why. Advaita, Haridas, Srivas. They could feel that the Lord had come. And little Nimai, under a neem tree, in the house of Sachi Devi and Jagannath Mishra, appeared in this most beautiful golden form. And when he cried, there was only one way to pacify him: the loud chanting of the holy. And later on, he would have millions of people in kirtan chanting. And he traveled the length and breadth of India, inducing everyone to chant and attain ecstatic love of God. And then through his beloved, empowered, eternal associate, Srila Prabhupada, he spread the holy name of the Lord throughout the world. So today is a day where we have the opportunity to make the highest spiritual progress to access the deepest blessings by simply expressing our gratitude for the divine appearance of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees. And we express our gratitude by reciprocating, by just accepting what he has given us and sharing it with others. Now we will express our gratitude by very jubilantly and very devotionally celebrating the 2009 Gaur Purnima Gaur Arti. Let us pray. Pray from our heart of hearts to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that we may sincerely commit ourselves with highest priority to the path of pure love through chanting, through reading, through serving Vaishnavas. We read yesterday Lord Chaitanya's declaration. He raised his arms and he declared, take this verse, Trinadapi Sunichena Taror Ivasihishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. To be humble like a blade of grass, tolerant like a tree, offer all respect to others without any sense of prestige ourself. In this spirit, chant the name constantly. Lord Chaitanya said, take this verse, put it on the string of the holy name, keep it over your heart, around your neck, constantly. To be the humble servant of the servant of the servant, to take shelter of the holy name, and to be an instrument of that love is our goal in life. Let us pray for this blessing alone. Let us pray that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will shower his mercy on all devotees, on all the world. Bhakti Vinod Thakur prayed to Lord Chaitanya, when everyone is happy chanting the holy names, that is my happiness. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. We can begin the Arti.